The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Yeah, folks, I will address the giant, massive elephant in the room for the show with the best damn bumper music known to man, nearly 10 years running, and that is last hour when you couldn't hear the bumper music. I mean, I couldn't go more than an hour. It was hard. It pained me to do this. But it's April Fool's Day. And I never have an April 1st, April Fool's Day show on a Saturday morning. And here we go. I got it. So we didn't have bumpers for the first two segments.
Well played, but, Jimmy Sangenberger.
Although, I appreciate that, Kelly. Although I will say, I was listening to the tunes in a separate headphone from my computer so that I could get in the groove. Let me just say, it is true that B.B. King's Live at Cook County Jail is his best live album. I believe it is better than Live at the Regal, even though that's the one everybody from Joe Bonamassa to Eric Clapton says is his best live album. Now, maybe you trust their judgment a little more, but give each album a taste for yourself. And maybe next week we'll give you. I don't have it in the lineup this morning. Maybe next week we'll give you The Thrill Is Gone for real from that. But April Fools, I can't, we got to bring back the bumpers. Kelly, bring the volume, bring it all up. We got bumpers coming up for the rest of the show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Couple of things more on the Trump indictment. You know, it's interesting, and I don't know why this didn't occur to me, but leave it to our own Randy Corcoran listening to the show this morning to text me and make the point, because Jonathan Turley, I think it was in one of the clips that we played earlier, might not have been, but he said on Fox News, he believes the president can give himself a pardon, but the president has purview over federal laws, not particularly over state laws. And he says, Randy does, a president can only pardon federal charges. Trump cannot pardon New York charges. And then notes, maybe Governor Hochul will help a butt out. Yeah, that's totally going to happen. I don't know why Turley would say that and get something, you know, wrong like that. But, you know, I mean, and of course, Randy's an attorney who's dealt in state courts, a variety of different legal areas, including criminal law, defense law. So certainly would know that particular point. Where did Turley go on that? Also, I got a couple of texts from Chris in Lakewood. I think a lot of us that listen to talk radio and talk show hosts forget that we're in a small, very small minority, which, by the way, is actually my mindset when I'm writing a column for the Denver Gazette. We'll get to that in a moment. Because I just presume that most of my audience isn't conservative. But my goal is different from when I'm on the radio. I'm still true to every belief, but the way that I approach my writing is going to be different because it's a different audience. Anyway, continuing with Chris' text on the 710 KNUS app. And by the way, Chris, thanks for saying name and town in your text message. Majority of people don't pay attention until the very last minute. At best, they see a headline about Trump being in trouble, and they're just happy that Trump's in trouble. They don't care about the political side, while his base may be riled up and want to get out and vote for him. It won't do anything for him in the general election. I think, second text, the overwhelming majority of American people will be happy to see Trump getting in trouble, regardless of whether or not it's fair. I think you got a good point there that particularly hurts Trump in the general election. The question even more than that is, will enough Republicans hold to that same view? Will Republican primary voters make that observation? And that conclusion themselves, enough where it would say swing votes in favor of Ron DeSantis. I think it kind of depends on how things progress, because right now we're in the moment of passion. History's been made. For the first time, a president's been indicted, and on a prosecution that is something political in nature, it seems quite clear in this particular case. There are other cases that are different stories, as we talked about. And those tend to be federal in nature. But maybe at a certain point, people will get tired of it and be like in the Republican primary. You know what? Ron DeSantis, and I think Ron's got more street cred with conservatives right now than Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley. I like all three of them. For years, I'd hoped that Haley would run for president. I would like to see her as a vice presidential pick. For example, Ron DeSantis becomes the nominee. He picks Nikki Haley. I can't really see Trump picking Nikki Haley at this point. But when you look at that matchup, do Republicans enough say, you know what? Ron is very much like Don without the baggage. And he was right on COVID in a way that, like, Trump kept Fauci around. And DeSantis says, I would have fired Fauci. And there are several other things that they can differentiate themselves that may work to Ron DeSantis' advantage. I think a lot more could play out. Does it help Trump? Certainly right now, and we're seeing his poll numbers rise among the Republicans. But does that last? How long does that last? We'll see what happens in that regard. 303-696-1971, our telephone number if you'd like to join in to the festivities. So this topic we'll hit on now, we'll hit on in the next hour as well after we talk with Bill Huang, representing the Taiwanese government in the Denver region for their Taipei Economic and Cultural Offices. And coming up in the next segment, a really great announcement for the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band. My bass player, Ken Cornell, will be joining us. Folks have been wondering what's going on with the band. When are we playing again? We've got some exciting news on that front. But my column yesterday in the Denver Gazette, which I talked a little bit about with Stefan yesterday afternoon in the 4 o'clock hour, Tone Deaf Tay mocks school safety. Of course, that's talking about Tay Anderson, Mr. Tone Deaf himself. Make no mistake, he is tone deaf, and of course, he's beyond tone deaf. The one thing that I say, of course, he's totally wrong on SROs, school resource officers. By the way, the news reports about him calling Chief Thomas, Chief of Police Ron Thomas, and saying, hey, Chief, I want you to figure out how to get 80 school resource officers into DPS schools. And I heard something about this last Thursday before the board met. This was going on. And this is something that I don't know where I saw it, but it was not news to me a couple of days ago when it was reported in the media. But it was as though there's a hypocritical aspect. You know what? I look at it this way. I think he was trying to play a game. How he got that 80 school resource officer number, he pulled it out of his rear end. There's no real calculation you can find on that for why he would do 80. And he had to know they do not have the budget or the manpower to put 80 police officers in DPS schools right now. So they're going with 11 schools, which works out to, I think, 13 total, something like that, if I recall correctly. Either way, he's playing games. He's still opposed to SROs. But as I write yesterday in the Gazette, the problem with Tay Anderson isn't that he's wrong. It's that he, the Denver Public Schools Board vice president, is manifestly incapable of escaping his own ideological capture, his implicit bias against police, and his toxic impulses. And we saw this on display. We saw this on display on Monday when he went on to Kyle Clark's show on 9 News. And there are a couple of key things. I got a bunch of clips. We'll go over a couple of them. And one big important point to make is that when it comes to this idea of, say, keeping kids out of schools who are charged with attempted murder to provide a safer learning environment, Tay just ain't on board with that. In fact, this is my favorite little part. After saying we can't deny students an education based off of behavior that occurred outside our district. By the way, he consistently said, it was his refrain, free, fair, and public education. And we would deny that if we put a student, say, into online learning, as was the request of the principal of McAuliffe International Academy, Denver's largest middle school, saying, look, we got a student charged with attempted murder. We need to keep him out of the school. DPS said no. Police said, please don't do this. It's a mistake. Keep him out of the school. DPS said, nope, we know better. Well, Tay Anderson endorsed that policy that resulted in similar pat-downs to what happened at East High School, even though Kurt Dennis, the principal of McAuliffe International Academy and Denver Police Department said, please don't do this. He endorsed it. And I love this part where Kyle Clark actually calls him out on something, an analogy that Tay made.
But I do know that once we get into this practice of saying this is what's happened outside of school grounds, you've been charged for it, or you may have not been charged for it, you've been accused for it, etc., then we get into what else are we going to start hammering kids for? You know, a kid steals something at the mall. Do we now check that student every day because, you know,
I asked
something...
I asked you about an attempted murder, and you're talking to me about shoplifting.
Well, right? I'm talking about how this can actually go through a magnitude of crimes. If we open the door for this, what other doors will we open when it relates to other crimes that could be committed by students outside of the district's hours that we actually have the student?
Ah, the old attempted murder to shoplifting analogy. Which is right where his mind went to, because, oh, we open up the possibility of other things. Well, you know what? Under the current DPS, Denver Public Schools, discipline matrix that Tay and Co. approved in 2021, that actually wouldn't be such a bad thing. They are very limited right now, or without SROs, and even with the SROs on there, SROs are just going to provide security. They are not allowed to enforce anything, and they severely limited the instances through which or during which a teacher or staff member or campus safety officer can call the police for something students do on campus. Only the most egregious crimes are required to guarantee a call to police, but in a great many instances, they can't call the police. They're just not allowed. No ticketing. So maybe you should have some more instances, not patting down a kid because he was shoplifting at the mall. Hey, come on. How ludicrous. But the other thing is, when he insists that separating a potentially dangerous student would deny a free, fair, and public education, that's baloney. As Kurt Dennis, the principal of McAuliffe International Academy, said, every kid deserves an education regardless of their state in the legal system. That kid deserves a free public education. But there is more than one way to do it. Yes. In fact, if good old Tay Anderson was A-OK with remote learning being adequate for all DPS kids during the pandemic and for elongated periods in Denver, why is he using it to temporarily mitigate potential threats to other students? It was good enough for all the kids during COVID, but not good enough for the kid charged with attempted murder? Are you kidding me? Here's one more thing that Tay Anderson said before we run to the break. He denied being anti-police.
In 2020 social justice protests, you described police officers as mother and said they were all corrupt. Do you still believe that police officers are mother and they're all corrupt?
I think that, you know, during the height of the George Floyd movement, we were being able to see that the practice of policing and the way that it was being contributed onto communities of color was something that was a corrupt practice. We've seen time and time again, from Tamir Rice to George Floyd to Sandra Bland, and the list continues to go on, where we've seen unarmed African-American individuals murdered at the hands of law enforcement. That's a corrupt practice. You know, when we talk about the all and the generalization, I think that was meeting in the heat of the moment. And I've, you know, been able to work with law enforcement since the summer of 2020 and be able to create positive relationships. And I really think that we have a remarkable chief in Ron Thomas as our current chief of police.
Oh, Ron Thomas, who's talking down in Florida, I think in Florida, the value of school resource officers. Ron Thomas, Ron Thomas was the one who answered his call. Actually, technically, now there was a whole thing, but he spoke with Ron Thomas directly after this happened.
Hi, I'm Officer Gann, Denver Police. I stopped you for speeding, 35 and a 25. Can I see your license, registration, please?
Permission to pull down my pocket?
Yeah, I've asked you for certain documents. I expect you to reach around to get them.
All right, I just don't want to get shot by you.
Well, that's a myth.
I don't believe that's a myth.
But he's not anti-police. He's instantly telling an officer, I don't want to be shot by you, and I don't believe that's a myth, but he's not anti-police. And then he goes public and basically cries racism over that officer who did a tremendous job, Officer Dan. This was last September when Montbello High School was just starting. He was speeding in a school zone, gets pulled over by the cop, and that's what Tay Anderson says. And then he gets a call with the chief of police, Ron Thomas, who was interim at the time. And oh, by the way, in the summer of hell 2020, who did he call? Or who did he text with when he needed somebody to check out what, you know, search terms on Google? Or when he was doing one of his anti-police marches and he wanted police to watch out for them? He texted Paul Pazin. I have the texts. Then chief of police, June 2020. Yeah, he's anti-police. In the sense that he uses them to his benefit. He blasts them when it's politically beneficial, and he exercises his police privilege when it's an opportunity for him to have some sort of personal gain, like getting rid of a ticket, which he didn't do. But clearly that was an intent on his part, I think. That's what I would extrapolate from that. So much more to be said on this. We will get back to Tay Anderson a little later in the program. Check out my column yesterday in the Denver Gazette, Tone Deaf Tay Mocks School Safety. You're listening to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Yes, the bumper music will pick up after April Fool's in the first hour. We've got the actual bumper music. You will hear it coming up in the next segment. We will also check it with my good buddy Ken Cornell, bass player of the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band. We've got some exciting news to share for the band. Folks have been wondering what's going on, where are you, when are you playing, that sort of thing. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few moments. You're listening to, once again, the Jimmy Sengenberger Show on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. I got to tell you, folks, last hour when we weren't playing the bumper music because April Fools, it was a hard pill to swallow. It was a mighty hard pill to swallow. But we did it anyway. And now you got the music. Another Coco Taylor tune. Not sure who's playing the harp here, but it's so badass. And Coco Taylor, may she rest in peace, one of the great vocalists of the blues. Welcome back to the best damn bumper music known to man. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Much better listening at full volume than on separate headphones that I was trying to quietly listen to while we were on the air before from my computer. We're back with the best damn bumper music known to man. It is true, and it is consistent. And you know, it's great to lead in to a segment like this on harmonica because, of course, I play the harp and front my own band, the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band. And we've got some big news on a show that will be coming up this summer. Folks have been wondering, where's the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band? What's happening? What's going on? Before we get to that, though, let me just give you a little taste. We've all been feeling that Bidenflation blues. So here's a little Inflation Blues. It is a song that came out from B.B. King back in the 80s. And we did a great cover. Let's give a couple of minutes here to, as a taste for those who really haven't heard the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band. You haven't seen us right here on 710 KNUS. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I'm singing that tune, Inflation Blues, along with playing harmonica. And we haven't had a show since Dakota Tavern on New Year's Eve. I've been working behind the scenes. You know, next week we're going to have Joanne Shaw Taylor on the show. She'll be playing at the Paramount Theater on April 13th. And my buddy Jeff Crump, of course, is in the music, was in the music biz, ran Red Rocks for a number of years. And I've been pulling out all the stops to see, can we get the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band at Red Rocks? And by golly, we're going to play at Red Rocks. An opening for one of my absolute favorite bands, Government Mule, which I grew up listening to when I was a kid. Warren Haynes, one of the best guitar players alive. They're doing a big Dark Side of the Mule show on August 7th at Red Rocks. And Jimmy Jr. Blues Band going to be making our Red Rocks debut opening for them. I'm so excited to have to talk about this. Ken Cornell, my bass player for the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band, who, by the way, was previously in the Low Becker Band and was, that means with me in 2020, it's the first time I met him, when the Antifa thugs shut down our pro-police rally, Colorado. You remember that one, Ken? I don't think we could forget.
Yeah, I broke a I had a the rear brake light in my Pathfinder broke out, and I still haven't been reimbursed for that yet. So I remember it every day when my brake light is out.
God. But, I mean, it was just insane. We didn't even get to play. Like, we were in the middle just starting to play Folsom Prison Blues. It became an anthem.
I've never loaded out that fast in my life. And I think that was the real... So it was a learning experience, being able to load out our gear, you know, while people are rioting. It's a unique experience, certainly.
So,
however...
The good thing...
Talk about the excitement that's coming up in our lives.
Yeah, go for it.
This is very exciting news, and I know that because I'm never up this early. I'm usually up around the crack of noon, but today was so exciting with this exciting announcement with Government Mule. Are you sitting down? Are your listeners sitting down in their cars? Because this is very important. It's very exciting. We're opening up for Government Mule, and it's also very exciting. I didn't know Government Mule was a band. I thought that was some kind of federal program, like school lunches or something. But they're very exciting. Government Mule will be opening up for them. I guess they're a very big band. We'll be opening up for them. Opening up for us, also very exciting, coming out of retirement, comedian Gary Mule Deer will be opening up for us. He's a very exciting entertainer. He has a bow and arrow with his guitar. It's like Ted Nugent, except without the loincloth. So we're looking forward to that. And also there will be the 20 mule team from Borax Laundry Detergent. Very exciting will be in this entire show. It's going to be very similar to the ZZ Top Black Crow show from 1990-1991.
So when I was a baby. We're basically going back to when Jimmy was a baby.
It still blows my mind that you're that young. I don't get it. You have a definition of an old soul.
Ain't that the truth, brother? I'm a talk radio host who blows the blues on harmonica.
Yes. So that bumper, that was Inflation Blues from Dakota Tavern?
Yes. Doesn't that sound beautiful?
Oh, wow.
I mean,
it does.
And go ahead.
I just needed to correct you. We didn't play New Year's Eve. We're not good enough for New Year's
Eve. Oh, yeah, the night before New Year's
Eve.
Yes.
We were the warm-up band for the New Year's Eve show.
Right, but now we're playing Red Rocks, brother. Like, I'm just excited. I mean, it'll be a short set, but still.
Oh, wait. I just got an update. There will be Red Rocks there, but we're not playing Red Rocks.
We're playing
the Garden of the Gods.
Thanks.
We're playing the parking lot at the Garden of the Gods. There will be Red Rocks there. It's the same formation.
No.
It's a little bit further down the front range. So,
yeah, it is so similar. You know, I was just at Garden of the Gods last weekend, and there's a lot of similarities between the two. But it doesn't hold the prestige of Red Rocks, where we are playing on coming up in August. But Ken... Can you just like reflect for a moment on just the excitement there? Like I'm a little bit mind blown at the moment.
Yes, it's truly because, you know, I think all individually we've all paid our dues in the music industry. I don't know why we're not headlining after the riot that occurred in 2020. I really expected
two of the band members were at a riot. Like that's something you would expect from the 60s. We were playing at a riot and had to shut down the show. So we should have that street cred.
Yes. You know, Johnny Cash plays Folsom Prison and there's no riots there. And he becomes hugely famous. We play a place where there is a riot and, you know, we're still kind of struggling to get our name, but opening up for Government Mule, it's very exciting. Warren Haynes, Tedeschi Trucks are planning on showing up. I think they're going to be in the parking lot.
No, that's
Tonka Trucks.
That I will say, so Tedeschi Trucks are playing at Red Rocks this summer. I'm not sure when, but it's a different night. Joe Bonamassa is the night before on Sunday, August 6th. Bonamassa is always incredible. Hey, by the way, did you hear that Eric Clapton is playing at Ball Arena as one of like five or six North American shows?
I did not hear that.
And Jimmy Vaughn is opening for him.
Jimmy Vaughn is still around?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. He has not gone to return to his brother yet. And it is pretty remarkable to think he'll be opening for Eric Clapton at a Ball Arena.
Why
are
we opening up on that show?
Well,
can we change?
I mean,
we do both. Let's just do both. Let's open up for Bonamassa too.
Yeah, that's a little bit. I think we got to start somewhere with a short set before one band. I'm blown away about Mule just because it's one of my favorite bands. I know my friend Ron Margeson. Rob Margeson. I'm so tongue-tied here because this news is still just mind-blowing. Rob Margeson is a huge Government Mule fan. In fact, we became friends. He's a leftist professor at Regis. And we became friends not because of our politics but because of music. When I was a student at Regis hosting Regis Campus Radio Show, and so I know Rob is enthused about what's upcoming. So a final word, Ken Cornell, bass player of the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band, coming up at Red Rocks on August 7th before Government Mule.
August 7th? I'm busy that day. I don't know if I can make it.
I don't think you're going to be busy. I think you could make it. Ken Cornell, brother, I'm excited. It's so fun to have you as part of my band, especially after that craziness in 2020 with the Low Becker Band. Yeah. We've got lots more to come.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for having me.
We'll get updates up at jimmyjrmusic.com about this as well. Thanks for joining us, brother. This is going to be exciting, and let's keep the music going.
All right.
I just, mind blown, Kelly. This is exciting. Exciting
wow.
News. My dad would listen to Mule working out when we lived in New Jersey, and I was like 7-8 years old. I remember him punching the bag and doing a real good workout to that. It gets music that gets you pumped, and they're covering the entire Dark Side of the Moon album with a big anniversary of the Pink Floyd hit album.
It's gonna be stellar.
So well, let's run to a break. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. Here's another taste, not as good quality in the recording, but another taste of the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band for a minute. This is a good old Charlie Musselwhite tune called Just a Feelin'. Yours truly again on the vocals and, of course, on the harp. Government Mule from there. The last time they did Dark Side of the Mule, as they called it, covering the entirety of Pink Floyd's hit Dark Side of the Moon album. The last time they did this, this is from that album. And now they're coming back to Red Rocks for the 50th anniversary of Dark Side of the Moon with another Dark Side of the Mule show, August 7th. Jimmy Jr. Blues Band was just, as we were just talking about, with my bass player Ken Cornell in the last segment. We shall be opening, small set, but we'll be opening for Government Mule coming up. And I am just thrilled. It's one of my favorite bands. Warren Haynes, one of the best guitar players ever. And certainly among the top tier that is alive today. Very thrilled for that. And great album, too. You can check it out, and they'll be covering the doing that again at Red Rocks coming up this summer. And just very exciting news to bring. Folks have been wondering where the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band is at and all that. And here we are. And you are, of course, listening to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Of course, our telephone number, 303-696-1971. That is indeed the number. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking with Bill Huang. Bill is the Director General of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Denver, representing the Taiwanese government. And I wanted to have him on because it's a pretty big deal. The president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen, is making a transit, they say, through the U.S. to Central America and back to the U.S. and back to Taiwan. She stopped through New York City, met with Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the U.S. House of Representatives, going to Central America, then back to Los Angeles. Well, she will meet with Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, who, of course, represents California, and is a big dust-up for the Chinese Communist Party. They ain't happy about this. But I think it's good to see. I'm glad that this is happening, especially having been to Taiwan on my 10-day trip last October. So we will dive into this and more with Bill Huang. Then we'll also get back to the Tay Anderson and DPS saga. Lots more to be spoken about in that regard here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show on News Talk 710 KNUS. Lots happening today on the program. Give us a call after Bill Huang, 303-696-1971. Here we go, actually, our bump out. This is The Thrill Is Gone at live in Cook County Jail. Here you go. You got a little taste of it. We'll be back. Hour number three up ahead.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.